This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Andrew Gunling is such a psychopath.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Just horse. You're right, it was Nom. I gotta give a closer look to Peter's region.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
Oh, that's right. Andrew Gunling in for Peter Rosenberg today on ENN. And this portion of today's show on 98.7 ESPN New York is brought to you by Jake's 58 Casino Hotel. Kickback at Jake's 58 Casino Hotel with one of the new special room packages. Get 25% off and a $50 food credit with the Stay and Dine package. Book today at jakes58.com. And we start out ENN, of course, by saying hello first to Dan.
Oh, geez.
And now let's say hello to Gordon.
I'm doing an amazing job filling in for Dave. I did do an amazing job then. And today, I feel like I have done a very good job of driving the bus.
Oh, you certainly have.
Yeah.
Better than Kevin Durant.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to say it, but yes.
Holy crap.
One more hello. Let's say hello to Richard in Manhattan.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, never mind. Sorry I brought it up.
All right, guys, let's start ENN with the story you were talking about in the last hour. The biggest story of the day, Baker Mayfield. His era in Cleveland has come to an end. He was traded to Carolina earlier today for a conditional fifth-round draft pick. He made 59 starts for the Browns, went 29-30, 92 touchdowns, 56 interceptions. His best year, 2020, they were 11-5. He had 26 TDs, 8 picks, quarterback rating just under 96. Jake Trotter covers the Browns for ESPN. He was on Barton Hahn earlier today discussing Baker's legacy in Cleveland.
I mean, I think you do have to, any Browns fan has to appreciate, you know, where this franchise was when Baker arrived and where it was when he left, which was in much better shape, no matter how disappointing last season was. And to be the first Browns quarterback in 26 years to win a playoff game, I mean, that's not nothing either. So, you know, I think it was potential unfulfilled for sure. You know, the expectation for Baker after that rookie season was he was going to be their starter for the next 10 to 15 years. But it wasn't all bad as well. There were some good moments. And I think Cleveland, you know, they took another step as a franchise while Baker was the starting quarterback.
So amazingly, of course, because the sun always shines on the NFL, the Panthers and Browns are going to play week one, which is perfect. Now, it's in Carolina. It's not in Cleveland, which maybe hurts it a little bit. But based on that there from Jake Trotter, talking about Baker's legacy. Let's say that game's in Cleveland, and let's say Baker comes out and he's starting for Carolina and he gets announced with the starting lineup. Does he get cheered in Cleveland?
I think he should.
Yeah, I think he should. That doesn't mean that he would, though. He probably would get booed. And you know what? He would probably prefer the boos.
Yeah, because he likes stirring the pot, it seems like, a little bit. You know, that chip on his shoulder or something to prove.
That's maybe when he's been his best.
But to Jake Trotter's point, like you said, I mean, think about it. Like, you go almost a quarter century without winning a playoff game, and this guy was able to help you do it. I'd give him a standing ovation if I was a Browns fan. Or, I mean, at least I wouldn't boo him. Let's put it that way. I'd be more appreciative of what he did.
Yeah. I mean, I do think he gets hurt by the fact that he was hurt last year as well. I mean, he played through an injury, a significant injury.
Separated shoulder.
Yeah. Not nothing. That wasn't a hangnail. Now, obviously impacted his play, I think.
How do you view that? Because some people look at that, believe it or not, there are folks who feel that by him playing through a separated shoulder, which certainly impacted his performance, that he was being selfish, that he was being an egomaniac, that he had to play.
No.
I look at it as he was sucking it up and trying to be the leader of this team.
That's what you would want from your quarterback, to be the leader of your team, right? Now, unfortunately, he played poorly. And I think it was partly because of that injury. So I don't think that he gets the excuse, well, I was hurt as well. If you were good enough to be out there, it's a bottom line business. You know, we can all pretend as fans and as media that we judge it some other way on some other metric. But at the end of the day, it's all based on wins and losses. And that's how we make up our, you know, like Richard in Manhattan's calling, well, you know, this move, it didn't work out because we all base it on the results. And unfortunately for the results in Cleveland, they were not what you expected for the number one, the number one pick in the draft who was a quarterback.
Little trivia question for you guys.
Yep.
Since 2018, can you name for me the quarterbacks with the two worst touchdown-to-interception ratios in the NFL with a minimum of 1,500 pass attempts?
Well, I think we gave you Sam Darnold before, right? I think he would probably be number one, and then Mayfield would be number two. Or
that's right. They're
vice
one and two.
How about that?
They're 1-2 since 2018. Not great.
Who was the Browns quarterback to win
a playoff game for the Browns prior to Baker Mayfield doing it 26 years before.
26 years. Was that it wasn't
has
was it Bernie,
local ties.
Was it Bernie Kosar?
That's incorrect.
Was it Kelly Holcomb?
No, Kelly Holcomb started the previous playoff game in 2002, but lost. They blew a lead in Pittsburgh that day, but he didn't win the game. Correct answer we were looking for was Vincent Testaverde.
There you go, with Belichick.
Correct.
Yeah.
Beat Parcells and the Patriots.
Can we play?
Whatever happened to that guy?
Wow.
By the way, do we have any sort of knowledge as to when the NFL is going to get around, like speaking of the Browns, to deciding on the Deshaun Watson penalties?
Any day now.
I mean, they met for 3 days last week. Can we get around to it? I mean, doesn't the Browns would like some sort of idea, wouldn't they?
Doesn't it feel like their investigation is just waiting for people in the media to report new things? Oh, what? We just found out about this. We just found out about that.
I think they're waiting for a Friday. A Friday late in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
The
odds on a Friday being when that drops, that's you can book that right now.
And the smart money was on last Friday, going into the holiday weekend. I'm shocked that it didn't come out Friday.
Yeah. I hope so, because I have a Saturday show this week. That would be fantastic for me. That would carry at least an hour.
Layup. Yeah. Layup.
They definitely
do that
should,
for an hour and a half, what I learned on TikTok.
Definitely should not do it the day after the MLB All-Star game, because that's a solid 3 days of owning the news cycle.
Yes, that's cross that Friday off. We're not doing it that Friday.
That's a good one. There's only so many super trades we're going to be able to conjure
up. Oh, right, the super trade. Maybe we'll get the super trade to throw some cover on it.
I'm in on the super trade. I like the David Robertson idea. I think it works. One thing to keep an eye on with the Baker Mayfield move to Carolina. Back in April, Ian Rappaport had a report that the Panthers were the most likely landing spot for Baker. Robbie Anderson then posted on social media, "No," with lots of O's. So now he's got to face him in the locker room. Today he tweeted, "I don't have an issue with Baker. Stop trying to paint that narrative." And along with the tweet, he posted this video of him answering questions about it.
I said what I said, you know. That's just my thinking out loud, my thought, you know.
What influenced that particular...
You know, just trying to be a good teammate to my quarterback, you know? That's it. Just trying to defend the guy who is my quarterback in a sense, you know what I'm saying? That's it.
But the guy who's his quarterback is Sam Darnold, who he's ripped before as well.
Did he?
Yeah, didn't he do that thing on the sidelines where Darnold was I can't remember what game it was, but he was like, you could see him screaming
year,
at Darnold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was last year.
I think he's trying to channel his inner like T.O., you know, like, that's my quarterback.
Yeah,
that's my teammate.
I think that's the excuse you come up with after you get caught.
Yeah,
like he didn't think that this was going to happen, so this is the old, I was just trying to protect the guy that I was with.
Is that what Panthers PR came up with to try to, like, that's what they fed him the line? Like, hey, if they ever ask you about, like, why you posted that or why you said that, they said, just say you were trying to stick up for your quarterback.
I mean, it's a good enough line. Like, I'll accept it.
Believable. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not outrageous.
Yeah, I'm good with that. So, yeah, Baker Mayfield, Carolina Panther.
Do you think that this trade now impacts Baker's commercial endorsements? Like, he cannot have as many commercials this year as he's had in the past, right?
Well, there's no guarantee. I mean, we all think he'll probably be their starting quarterback this year, but that's not a lock at this point. He's in a quarterback controversy. So, I mean, if you're an advertiser out there looking for a guy to, you know, be the face of your product, are you going with a guy where there's, you know, a 35-40% chance he's going to be a backup? I don't think
swallowing up all that money.
Yeah.
But if you're State Farm, can you continue the series, but he moves into the Panther Stadium?
No, I think you got to move. I think we need a fresh campaion.
And the rules might be different in North Carolina. Like, they may not allow athletes to live in the stadium that, you know, they call home as an employer. So I don't know.
let's see, guys. Little more NFL. In the offseason, some organizations don't like seeing their guys do anything reckless, stay off motorcycles, maybe no surfing, things like that. So what do you make of this?
Hang on to it.
That is Cowboys linebacker Leighton Van Der Esch on a trip to the Northwest feeding fish to a wild bear.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to need some clarification on just what was going on there.
That's what was going on.
He didn't start off very family-friendly.
My mind obviously didn't go where it was. The bear was not one of the ones that I was looking
at. He's in what appears to be a boat, and the bear in some kind of river. The bear is in the water. It's really shallow, so it's able to walk right up to the boat, and he dangles a fish over the side. The bear stands up on its hind legs, and he feeds it to him right into his mouth.
And this is Leighton Van Der Esch of the Cowboys.
Linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I'm not trying to hate on this. It's actually amazing. Check out the video for yourself. But I'm sure that people are not supposed to be that close to a
wild
bear.
You don't think you're supposed to hand-feed bears, no?
I wouldn't advise against it.
I'm rooting for the animal every time. Let me just put it out there right now. Every single time that there's one of these things, I am always rooting for the animal.
So two questions with this. Number one, have either of you ever seen a bear in the wild?
I have seen a bear. I've seen a bear on a golf course.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bear on a golf course. And it was actually such a regular occurrence that I think they had like a bell or something like that. You would ring the bell when there was a bear, which to me did not seem like a great system.
No, because
I'm going to need more than just the bell.
Well, it'll shut like, up, bear! Michael. The idea is to scare the bear away, right?
No, I think it's to let other people know that there's a bear around.
Okay.
My golfing was going so poorly. I was running towards the bear. So
where was this golf course?
I don't remember. It was Jersey.
Bear, I'm doing a show.
We got the deer in this area, and the deer. I'm rooting for the Bears. I want the Bears to come in and just swallow up the deer because they're terrible.
There was two deer by my mailbox today. Oh, this
the worst. They're so dumb. They're so skittish. You'd think by now they've seen people before. What are you so nervous about? Relax.
But it's different people. They're not used to everybody.
Ugh. So dumb.
Guys, speaking of bears, actually, interesting story out of Chicago with the Chicago Bears. I'm reading here from CBSSports.com. They write, the Bears are positioned for a future relocation from downtown Chicago to the suburb of Arlington Heights in order to build a new world-class stadium. But Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is proposing the city make its own renovations to keep the team in town. A mayoral committee is set to recommend Chicago, quote, explore the feasibility of adding a dome to Soldier Field.
What?
The Bears' longtime open-air stadium, along with other significant updates to the historic venue per Crane's Chicago Business. How do we feel about a domed Soldier Field? I can't picture it. I don't want to picture it.
That sounds like something my child thought. Why can't we just add a dome? Yeah, we'll just throw a dome on the stadium. Well, yeah, the stadium
right,
already exists.
Retractable
we'll just throw
roof.
A dome on there.
Can they build a retractable roof over it then? If not,
I would think that's even more complex. A retractable roof. I mean, how much is that going to cost?
Yeah, probably. Well,
remember, they did all of the renovations to Soldier Field. How many years ago was that? And they turned it into what looks like a spaceship, essentially. So you should have thought of that then, first of all. And not for nothing, like, you know, Chicago's like one of the last few, it seems like, cold weather cities that plays out in the open. I mean, that's supposed to be what football is. Chicago, Monsters of the Midway. You're going to put a dome on top of it? I mean, how soft are we getting?
Does feel weak. It would be like naming rights to Yankee Stadium. You know, like certain things are just they're sacred, right? You're not going to do that. You can't have a dome on Soldier Field, the elements of Chicago, Soldier Field. Can we put the roof up? It's a little cold today.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. What's weirder, right, though, the Bears playing in a roofed Soldier Field or them playing in a suburb of Chicago, not even in Soldier Field?
Fix that!
I still think the roof gives off bad vibes. I'm anti-roof guy, anti-dome
I think I'd
guy.
Rather have the stadium someplace else than having the roof.
Yeah, I think
do
agree.
You really think about when you're watching a game, like where the game is? Like when you watch the Braves, like the Braves are in Cobb County now. They moved out of Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. Like, to me, I don't think that they're in the suburbs. I'm just thinking, hey, it might as well be Atlanta. They're in the state of Georgia. Who cares? Let's watch a game.
Look, whatever football stadium they put together, if it's in the suburbs, is it the roof, it's still going to be better than MetLife. MetLife looks terrible.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Guys, I don't like to usually take too much away from summer league basketball, but I don't know.
No?
Sometimes though, you can tell when something is going to be a thing. And Chet Holmgren right now feels like he's going to be a thing moving forward. I don't know if he's going to be good or bad or great or terrible, although I do think he's going to be really good, but he's just going to be a thing. Kendrick Perkins, I would say, agrees. Here's what he said on ESPN earlier today.
I love it when I'm so right. And listen, I'm not about to overreact to one. I'm not about to overreact to one summer league game. But look, we could see it. We could see it. We saw glimpses of Kristaps Porzingis, the way he was able to stretch the floor last night. And then we saw his tenacity, the way that he finishes around the basket, relentless as far as protecting the basket, going to challenge everything, his decision-making, his heart. And you know what he came back and said? I'm going to break the record, his own record that he set. Like, how can you not love this kid? And I just remember on draft night, they had a couple idiots out there saying, oh, Perk with these comparisons. Like, why is he doing? Why we're just making them up. And now you see a guy like Chet that's out there shining like new money. Look, he has one more game if I'm Sam Presti, and I'm shutting him down.
Just a reminder, he started that cut by saying, I don't want to overreact to one summer league game.
Right, right.
I don't blame him, though. I don't blame him. I'm in on Chet.
Can I trivia question for you guys? Name this player a few years ago who was named to the All-NBA Summer League first team. In four games, he averaged 21.3 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 2.3 assists. Name this player.
It was a Knick, wasn't it?
How many years ago?
It was a Knick. I don't remember the exact year. Maybe three, four.
What would that be, like Kevin Knox?
Kevin Knox!
That was it, yep.
Kevin Knox, All-NBA Summer League.
Yeah,
yep. I mean, do we ever learn? I mean, do we ever learn? Oh, my God, we never learn.
Bing bong!
And look, what was he, the second pick in the draft?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, the expectation is he's going to be a sensational player, but can you give me a little bit more time before I'm going to go doing backflips?
First player with 5-plus blocks and 4-plus threes in any summer league game ever.
Well, my boy Worldwide Wob was like posting all the videos, which he does. I don't know how he doesn't get in trouble from the NBA, but he gets away with it. But he's posting all these videos last night at Chet Holmgren, so I'm seeing those. I'm like, wow. You know, so I put it on for a little bit just to check it out. The thing with Chet Holmgren, though, and this is not just last night. You knew this coming into the draft when you saw him in college. I just don't know, guys, if he doesn't get stronger, put some
right,
more meat
I
on those bones.
Agree.
In the NBA, he's going to crack a bone every time somebody sneezes on him. Like, can he stay healthy?
Yeah. The body type does seem – I know that it's people have drawn comparisons to Kevin Durant and all that. I see what you're saying, right? Like, there's certain body types that you just look at and you're like, that's not usually what you would see. And he is – what is
Kevin
he,
Durant
7'2"?
Looks like a sumo wrestler
right.
compared to
– No, now you've gone too far. They look very similar. Their body type is really similar to me. They're both twigs. They're both super skinny.
No, dude.
Chet Holmgren
looks like Ichabod Crane, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, he's skinny. The only thing I would say is that, and I was kind of the same way with Durant when he broke in, and obviously I was completely wrong there, but he felt like he was a little bit more fluid at his size as opposed to Chet, but let's plan the parade route. Let's get the tickets for the Hall of Fame induction ready, and... we can do Kevin Knox and Chet Holmgren in one day.
Durant tweeted. He tweeted to Chet Holmgren last night because I guess Chet was wearing KD's shoes. And Durant tweeted to him. He said, I see you cooking, Seven. First day on the job was a success. Love the kicks at Chet Holmgren.
You think he makes it through 60 games his rookie season?
I do.
With that body type?
I do. You're not wrong. He's going to have to bulk up. And he will. Everybody who comes into the NBA does get bigger now that they can solely focus on that. So he'll get bigger. But I don't.
God bless him. Sean Bradley never did. Right?
The problem, I think, is not just like your body is what your body is. And yes, you can add some muscle to it, but at that size, I don't know that it can necessarily support a large bulk up anyway. And I think that would probably take away from your skill level that you already have mm-hmm. at the size that you're at.
Right. He may not even want to get that much bigger.
Right.
He might lose some quickness.
Well, he's a 7-footer that's going to obviously not be a prototypical 7-footer to where he's camped out in the paint. He can't with his body type. He's going to have to hang out around the perimeter.
And he can do that. He's a good 3-point
right.
shooter. And yeah. He's a I don't know. I'm not going to get too carried away either, but I like
it. It's funny.
Him.
We're
really
saying
like
we're not going to get carried away, and yet Dan and I are both saying, no, this guy's never going to work.
Yeah, you've gone the other way.
Yeah. Right. It can't possibly work. Yeah. What a failure.
Guys, the Wimbledon semifinals are set. Rafa Nadal won a classic today over American Taylor Fritz to advance to the semis, where he's going to face Nick Kyrgios, who won in straight sets. Dan, I will defer to you on tennis things. A couple things. I know he's ranked number two in the world, but any surprise that a 36-year-old Rafa Nadal has made it this far?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Well, first of all, he wasn't even guaranteed to play Wimbledon because his foot was... Like, he won the French Open for like the 900th time in Paris, and yet the next day he's on crutches walking into the airport. Like, he's got some weird foot deformity thing to, which is going to like bother him for the rest of his life when his tennis career is over. But believe it or not, this is a guy who's won 22 majors, more than any other player in the history of the sport, and this is the first time in his storied career that he is actually going for the calendar slam at Wimbledon. Like, this is the first year he's won the first two majors in the calendar year. So it's an incredible season that he's having. And Wimbledon has really never been his strong suit. He's not the best. I mean, he's a good grass court player, but it's not his preferred surface. Nadal hasn't been in a Wimbledon final, guys, since 2011.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the last time he was in a Wimbledon final. He hadn't played Wimbledon since 2019 because he knows that it's not his preferable surface. So this would be something, and I'll tell you, the fireworks, the storylines, go, you know, research. Last time Kyrgios and Nadal met at Wimbledon, Kyrgios beat him in 2014, and things got a little, you know, intense, should we say, on the court. Like, Kyrgios was firing a couple of balls that hit Nadal and, so, you know, the gentleman's game.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I actually have the press conference after that, which got testy, I think you'd have to say. This is what year did you say this was?
2014.
Okay, here was Kyrgios afterwards talking about trying to hit Nadal with a ball at Wimbledon. Mm.
Do you regret not apologizing for hitting him with the ball in the third set?
Why would I apologize?
Well, because that's the convention, isn't it?
Of what?
Of tennis.
Is it?
If you hit someone with the ball.
I didn't hit him. He's racking, huh? But why would I apologize? I won the point.
He didn't look too pleased.
And?
But you seem to wind him up, and then he with him.
I don't care. Why would I apologize? I mean, dude's got how many slams? How much money in the bank account? I think he can take a ball to the chest, bro. I'm not going to apologize to him at all.
Did you aim it straight at him?
Yeah, I was going for him. Yeah, I wanted to hit him square in the chest.
He sounds charming.
Well, that was 8 years ago.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't seem like he's gotten any more charming.
Well, he's gotten in trouble. He's gotten in some trouble this week too.
Yes.
Earlier, was it just a few days ago? He was charged with assaulting his ex-girlfriend. Now today, he's in the semis. Well, I mean, what's his deal? Obviously, the assault, Dan, of his ex-girlfriend will change the narrative on him in a darker way. But before that, do tennis fans enjoy him? Do they hate him?
It's like, polarizing.
Yeah.
Some do, some don't. I mean, and look, earlier in the tournament when he was playing Stefano Tsitsipas, and there was kind of theatrics going on both sides. And, I mean, Kyrgios has told players, like, on the court, like, even in that Tsitsipas match, saying, like, they're here to see me. They're not here to see you. Nobody's come to see you. Like, so he's not afraid to let people know what he thinks of himself. He's got a huge ego. And now he's fine. And look, he's had the talent. Like, ever since he was a junior, he's had the talent. But he's never had the success as a professional. Like, this is his first ever Grand Slam semifinal. Mm-hmm. This is the furthest he's ever made it. The guy's got, arguably, one of the top five serves in the history of tennis, in which, on grass court, that obviously is a big weapon to have in your tool basket there. But, you know, can he put it all together? Really, he's been his own worst enemy. He doesn't take it. He never took it seriously. With conditioning, work you have to put in that the all-time greats do. It's one thing to have the talent, but you also have to match it. Like, he kind of gets a kick out of the fact he was talking the other day about in that 2014 match, the night before the match, he was playing Rafael Nadal in the fourth round, center court Wimbledon. His agent had to come drag him out of a pub in London at 4 a.m. Hmm. 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's, like, bragging about this, and yet he still went out there and beat Nadal the next day. So if he ever is able to put it together, he can be really, really good. The problem is he's running out of time to author this, like, tremendously great career. But here he is in a semifinal. He's going to get a shot at Nadal. Can he beat him? Yeah, absolutely he can, because Nadal barely made it through today. He's dealing with an abdominal injury in addition to the foot. And Taylor Fritz, who's an American, and remember, guys, we haven't had an American male win a Grand Slam since Andy Roddick won the U.S. Open in 2003. This was Taylor Fritz's chance to make his first ever career slam. He'll look back on this one as a huge missed opportunity. I mean, he had Nadal dead to rights multiple times and couldn't finish it off. But it also tells you why these champions like Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, why they're the best of all time, because you really have to take every single ounce of your being to beat them. There's no clock in tennis. You can't, you know, like, you can't sit on the ball. You can't run on the clock with the lead.
No, there's a clock on the side. It tells you how long the match is going. I know that. Come on. You can't slip that one by me.
And this one was 4 hours and 20 minutes today, too. This is a good outing. Yeah.
Two more quick ones here. A little bit of summer hockey news. Next year's schedule is out. Season's going to begin in Europe on Friday, October 7th. Nashville Predators and the San Jose Sharks in Prague. And then the season starts in North America Tuesday, October 11th, a doubleheader that starts with, that's right, Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Rangers at MSG. The Nightcap Kings and Golden Knights at Crypto.com Arena. So the Rangers getting some headline billing to start next season in the NHL. Pretty cool. And then finally, last one for you, Primanti Brothers weighing in. So, Dan, I guess you were going back and forth with somebody on Twitter about Primanti Brothers, coleslaw, french fries, whatever. Sure. And Primanti Brothers saw this, and they tweeted to you. Hi, they said, longtime listener, first-time caller. Given Pittsburgh's prominence in the slaw world, do you think Gerrit Cole was relieved that he didn't have to pitch against the Pirates? We'll hang up and listen.
So that's a good one. See, Primanti Brothers, they get it. They had some
New
fun
York.
With it. And I got nothing against it. I'd love to have a Primanti sandwich. However, you got to hold the coleslaw. I cannot do the coleslaw.
Just try it. I think if you went into it with an open mind.
I mean, how many of these things do you think they've sold? I mean, they've probably sold millions
and billions
of these things. Right. I mean,
but
they know what they're doing. Leave them alone. Just try
it. It's not for me. How many cars do you think Mercedes and BMW have sold? But you know what? Those aren't for everybody, guys.
Is that true? I think that most people, they would be fine with it. I don't think that they...
No, which I'm saying, you just can't like walk in and say, I want one if you don't have the money to pay for it.
Right,
that's my point.
I think the money is the bigger issue there than the car itself. I
mean, my stomach can't afford...
You know what?
Can you not afford
the
sandwich? Do you need some help? Yeah.
My stomach can't afford a Primanti Brothers. How's that?
Gotcha. All right, well, that is ENN for tonight.
Yeah. That's a good job.
Going with the back-to-back... Back-to-back-to-back, Summer League, NBA, tennis, and then the hockey schedule. Very rarely seen in the ENN features.
And Primanti Brothers.
Has that ever happened before?
Probably not. Summer League, I think, would probably make that a difficult one to replicate.
There you go. All right, well, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Coming up, we'll get back into some baseball stuff. We'll give you the Yankee lineup for tonight, assuming that there is a game, because right now they got a video feed of Pittsburgh, and it does not look promising at all. So we'll get into that coming up. More of your phone calls as well. It is Dan. It is Gordon. It is the Michael K. Show, 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.